A voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Words that began this Epiphany season. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." The words that end this Epiphany season. Indeed, it is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday of the Epiphany, the last Sunday before Lent begins, the last Sunday we will sing any Alleluias for a season. And many seasons ago, I spent my internship year in Jacksonville, Florida. And in Florida, I spent a great deal of time sitting in Warman's, which is a real live Jewish deli. It became sort of my home away from home. Matzo ball soup, bagels and lox, arugula. I loved it for many reasons, but especially its motto, which was eat dessert first. And have a couple of t-shirts to bear witness to that. And for the church, Transfiguration is a bit like eating dessert first, or at least a tiny little bite, a minuscule taste of the fullness of God's glory come near, already here, but not quite in its entirety. And during Epiphany, we read through the first chapter of Mark. And as we read those lines, and as we read in between those lines, readers get the idea Jesus is different. Jesus is something more than healing and teaching and preaching. From chapter 1, today we have leapt to chapter 9. We're on the mountaintop. Peter, James, and John are with Jesus. Mark took the pains to tell us they were separate and apart. He was emphasizing how alone they were. And then Mark describes an incredible scene. Jesus' clothes became whiter than anything human. And Moses and Elijah arrived and talked with Jesus. And overwhelmed by the sweet glory of that moment, Peter was eager to savor that moment for as long as he could. And so he pipes up, as he usually does, said, "Let us build some dwellings here. Let's stay here for a while." Now, in between chapters 1 and 9, Mark tells us stories of what Jesus has done. And Peter witnessed pretty much all of it. And he knew that not everyone approved of Jesus, that division and conflict followed him. And so it's not surprising that Peter wanted to hang around. This glorious Jesus was the one he had hoped would come. This was the Messiah. But God nixed all thoughts of staying put when the three disciples finally heard what Jesus first heard at his baptism. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And my very unofficial translation is, "For once, close your mouth, Peter, and listen." Preacher David Lose believes Peter came very close to missing the point of that mountaintop experience. He writes, "Peter wants to fit what is happening into a plan. And God invites him instead to experience the wonder and mystery of Jesus." Here God offered Peter this wondrous sight and said, "This time, Peter, just eat dessert first. Don't think this to death. Don't analyze it to death. Enjoy this little nibble of heaven." But surely God has it all backwards. We cannot eat dessert first. It would ruin our supper. The church can't eat dessert first. We Lutherans especially love good order, and eating dessert first ruins all of that. Because we have constitutions, we have policies, we have plans, we have rules. We like things to move in an orderly fashion. We insist dessert comes last. And so, to follow David Loess's line of thinking, we then would dismiss or miss altogether the mountaintop moments Jesus invites us to behold. Now, hear me well. We need plans and budgets and policies and the like in order to run efficiently. At the same time, the church's call is not necessarily to be efficient or to be successful. Our call is to be faithful. There's a huge difference. Being faithful can be a pain and a sorrow to Lutherans because it's often messy. It doesn't follow a nice orderly outline like especially I would like it to do. Once in a while, we need to eat dessert first. Stop worrying about the bloomin' rules. Watch and listen for the presence of the Spirit. Be present and enjoy the wonder and mystery of Jesus. Dwight Zeele is an Episcopal priest and teaches at Luther Seminary. He wrote The Agile Church, which was a bestseller in pastor circles a few years ago. And like David Loess, he too believes the church misses mountaintop moments. We miss those daily interruptions into our life as God's kingdom comes closer. His thoughts: when newcomers show up, the church often focuses on assimilating them as participants in a voluntary religious organization. An example would be, have you filled out a pledge card? We do that rather than concentrating first on introducing them to Jesus and his way. Churches often create little space for their disciples to share living the faith in daily life, or as Loess experiences it, experiencing and telling of the wonder and mystery of Jesus, or as Warman's Deli would put it, the wonderful opportunity to eat dessert first. We're more worried about the forms than we are the formation. Years ago, I attended a retreat during seminary, and all I remember of it is this one exercise. We who were there were asked to imagine a long line running down the middle of the room, and at the end, one end, we were to imagine that that represented work before play. Those of us who would work before we played. The other end was those of us who would play before we would work. And we were to line ourselves up along the line which represented our approach to life, whether you were in the work first, then play category, or the play first, then work category. And I, along with a few others, stood with our backs against the wall at the work before play end of the line. I could not get any farther back. I really wanted to sort of sink into the wall, because that would tell you exactly where I was. Work before play. And there were others lined up here, and I was very envious of them. They were the ones who could risk. They were the ones who could dare eating dessert first every now and then. Because all work and no play means we miss out. Procedures and plans and agendas and reports are needful, but they can become idols we worship. They can stifle congregational imagination and initiative. So much so that we miss Jesus' invitation that comes to us always, the invitation to come out and play, the invitation to experience the divine wonders that come to us all the time, the wonder and the decadent pleasure of eating dessert first. In this interim time, Good Shepherd has an invitation to shut our mouths and listen, to stop rushing to make important decisions, and to take time to listen to Jesus. God has great adventures in store for this congregation, but we will never know what they are until we dare eat dessert first once in a while. Not all the time, certainly, but once in a while. And today we are on the mountaintop. Today, as we do every Sunday, we have a chance to sit and listen and wonder, because Jesus will be at this table, in the bread and in the wine, giving us, just like Peter and James and John did, we, through our sense of taste, will have a small nibble of what is to come our way, the glory of the fullness of God's kingdom. We gather at God's table to eat dessert first. And we shall need the memory of the sweetness of that table for the 40 days that are ahead of us. We shall need the memory of its delight as we begin our Lenten disciplines of fasting, of prayer, of repentance, and the giving of our treasures. We will need the memory as our journey to the baptismal waters of Easter begin. Thanks be to God. Amen.